Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and with me is David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. Dave, we've been around since 1992, and during that time, essentially, we've been fighting for freedom.
That's right. I like to use the tagline, bringing a biblical perspective to public policy. That's kind of what we do. And again, if you've heard the first podcast, you know that we do it on two fronts, down in Springfield, educating lawmakers on moral issues, and as well as the body of Christ, trying to educate them on the same moral issues of the day.
We had a bill signed by the governor that we fought long and hard against, and
yes,
that was SB 1564.
Right. This bill actually damages the rights of conscience for professional medical workers. It will require them, the doctors and nurses, to give a referral to an abortion facility or service or other dubious medical procedures against their conscience. So if a medical doctor is a pro-life doctor and the woman he's serving, the patient he's serving says, hey, doc, where can I go get an abortion? By law, this will require him to say, well, here's the address for that service. Of course, we know, as most Christians would rather give up their job. In fact, the Christian Medical and Dental Association surveyed their own memberships, and 90%+ of them said, I'd rather quit my job than violate my conscience.
Well, this bill, as you mentioned, is going to force these pro-life doctors, pro-life nurses, crisis pregnancy centers,
yep,
to give abortion referrals, collaborate in abortion.
That's right.
And it's already facing a court challenge. Could be costly.
Thank God for Malkin Baker Law Firm, downtown Chicago, who have filed a lawsuit on behalf of two crisis pregnancy centers, because they are also would be compelled under this law to give abortion. I mean, they're in the business of saving lives, for goodness sakes, and ministering to women in a crisis pregnancy situation. And now they're going to be compelled by law to go say, well, this is where you can go terminate your unborn child. Is really reprehensible. Anyway, so they're representing two crisis pregnancy centers and a pro-life doctor who have said enough is enough.
Well, proponents of this, Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, are a tad hypocritical because they say this is all about women's health and giving them access to all their health options. They call it health, abortion a health option.
Right.
But on the other hand, they oppose efforts to give women an opportunity to see an ultrasound, ultrasound choice.
That's right. On one hand, they're saying that you have to disclose this information. On the other hand, they refuse to disclose the full information about what that choice is, right? So the Ultrasound Opportunity Act, which is what you're referring to, is a bill that would require doctors before an abortion to offer a woman in a crisis pregnancy center a chance to see her unborn child through an ultrasound picture. Just offer. If she says no, then fine. You've done your duty. Move on. But why is it important to offer her that picture? Because we know from these crisis pregnancy centers that a woman who sees an ultrasound picture of her unborn child is 80% more likely or more to choose life. So you want to talk about a fully informed choice? The Ultrasound Opportunity Act gives the woman a fully informed view of what is growing in her womb.
But back to Senate Bill 1564.
Yes.
Not a single Republican voted for this.
No, that's correct. Not the final version. That's right.
But a Republican governor signed it into law.
He signed it, unfortunately, with the Democrats.
So
despite the fact that the Illinois Right to Life organization sent him over 6,000 a letter or petition with 6,000 names, IFI sent a petition with almost 400 pastors signing on, asking the governor to please veto that. Instead, he chose to side with the Democrats with bigger government, and I would even say tyranny, and coercion. Coercion. This is not the role of government.
Well, when it comes to endorsements and whether we back candidates, I'm referring to Illinois Family Action.
Right.
Where does the governor's action leave him with Illinois Family Action?
Well, we could not endorse him in 2012 because of his positions on the moral issues, the social issues, the life issue. And this is just going to solidify the fact that he is not worthy of an endorsement.
So you think a lot of social conservatives will say no to Governor Rauner if he decides to run again?
I know for a fact in 2014, when he ran, a lot of pro-lifers held their nose saying, at least we'll get a seat at the table. What good is that seat?
Right.
Right? They're not going to make the same mistake twice. I believe Governor Rauner has alienated the pro-life, pro-family community completely now.
This kind of points back to the need for Christians to be engaged and to learn and be informed about what's happening in our state government.
That's absolutely correct.
This is the role of IFI and Illinois Family Action.
To that point, Monty, Senate Bill 1564 passed with 61 votes in the Illinois House. I don't know. The listeners need to understand. It takes 60 votes to pass a bill. So if we had two more pro-life seats in the Illinois House, we probably would have stopped this bill. Two. That's it. Two. But because of our lack of involvement, because so many Christians decide not to exercise their God-given responsibility. I'm not going to say it's – yeah, responsibility. Let's just put it there. To vote, we have handed over the reins of government to atheists and humanists, and this is the result.
Well, even Christians who do vote sometimes are not fully informed.
That's right.
They don't know who they're voting for.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that's exactly right.
So how do they get informed?
Well, well, thanks for the plug there, Monty, for the lead. As a softball, you were a softball pitcher, weren't you, at one time?
Not a pitcher, but I did play a lot of softball.
Well, anyway, yes, I would recommend signing up for our email alerts, illinoisfamily.org. Sign up. We will let you know what's pending in Springfield, at what stage of the game, if it's in the House, in the Senate, if it's on its way to the governor, and what you need to do to try to help us either pass it or stop it.
But beyond just voting,
yes,
and being an informed voter, there's some things that Christians could actually do. Maybe they should consider running for office.
Well, Monty, you were telling me earlier that you've got friends who don't want to even be involved, right?
Right.
And I know people like that too, and you hear it. They don't want to be part of the dirty business of government, right? Or politics. Well, you know, politics in and of itself means the art of governing. Romans 13 tells us that all authority is ordained by God, right?
Right.
Who did he ordain in America? I like to ask that question before Christian audiences. And oftentimes the responses I get, president, the Supreme Court, and once in a while we'll hear Congress, right? The fact of the matter is, the first three words of the Constitution say,
we the people.
Exactly. So, who did God ordain? We the people.
That's right.
Then I like to ask, how are we doing with that? You can imagine the sheepish looks I get from people because they realize we're not doing so well with this this position that the Lord
has
given us.
Too many Christians say, I'll just let my state senator handle that, my state rep, my member of Congress. That's not my thing.
No, it is our thing. And if we're not involved, we are by default turning it over to humanists and atheists who will govern in their worldview and take us where they want to go. If we have better choices, better understanding, if we have a better worldview, okay, none of us have a perfect worldview, but Christians are supposed to have a biblically informed worldview, correct? It would certainly bless this country in great ways. We wouldn't have the out-of-control government spending that we have today, the out-of-control tyrannical power that the government has today. We would have a much better system in local control, like it should be.
Like it should be. Well, Dave, if people want to become more engaged, once again, we have a website.
That's right.
That might be a good starting point.
Absolutely. IllinoisFamily.org. The other website is IFIAction.org. You can sign up for emails on either one of those websites. They're in the right-hand column. Just look for the place to subscribe.
We'll continue our conversation after this. This is an Illinois Family Institute, IllinoisFamily.org update. A conservative leader contends that the push for co-ed bathrooms and locker rooms is just another step toward advancing the LGBT's agenda in public schools and elsewhere.
More than normalization, it's taking control of the definition of what's acceptable behavior.
Dr. Alan Carlson is the founder and president emeritus of the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society.
Well, if you've ever needed an argument for placing your children in a parochial school, a church-related school, or in a home school, the bathroom wars are driving that home very clearly.
Dr. Carlson says Christians should be in contact with their lawmakers and use the legal system to counter co-ed bathrooms.
Make a phone call. If appropriate, file a lawsuit.
Find out more about bathroom wars. Visit IllinoisFamily.org. This is an Illinois Family Institute, IllinoisFamily.org update. Join former presidential candidate and retired U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann at the Illinois Family Institute Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, September 30th at the Stonegate in Hoffman Estates.
It is in God that we as a nation put our trust.
Michelle Bachmann and the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet. Order tickets at IllinoisFamily.org.
No government gave me rights that only God can give.
Order tickets today at IllinoisFamily.org or call 708-781-9328. Underwritten by Illinois Family Institute. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and David Smith is the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. Our website is IllinoisFamily.org. Dave, we were talking earlier about Christian engagement.
Yes, why Christians should be involved in the public square.
In public squares, our culture, our government, and our politics.
Absolutely. You know, I started off by saying that we, the people, are ordained by God, right, to govern this nation. We've got this tremendous gift given to us, self-government. We've got to be involved. So if Romans 13 doesn't do it for you, right, let me give you another reason. A biblical view of love requires our involvement, right? The great commandment, Jesus is asked, Lord, what is the great commandment? And he responds by saying what? Two things. First, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, right? And the second, he continues, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if we truly love our neighbor, we need to be involved in politics, making sure good policies are being enacted, bad policies are being defeated, and on the flip side of that, good officials are being elected, and bad officials are being defeated. It has a bearing on our neighbors. Let me just give a quick example using gambling. All right? So we've got 10 casinos in the state of Illinois. We've got 6 racetracks in Illinois. And now we've got video slot machines in every, almost every, it's not in Chicago because it's still outlawed in Chicago, slot machines. But we've got slot machines everywhere else, in corner bars, in family restaurants, anywhere they serve liquor.
And they look like kids' video games.
And they do. Here's the thing is, especially with slot machines, I want you to tell you, they call this, the experts call this, the addiction specialists call it the crack cocaine of gambling. It is highly addictive. And the fact of the matter is, this kind of stuff is going to affect your neighbors, possibly draw them in and bring them into an addiction that they can't afford, gambling away their resources. Here's what the statistics say from a 1999 study promoted by the Congress, right? And when they did this study, at the end of the study, they said there should be a moratorium placed on any more gambling expansion. Well, that worked for a while. But as you know, gambling has exploded over the last 5-6 years throughout the maybe even 10 years throughout the United States. It's no longer just relegated to Las Vegas, right? Or Reno. It is now everywhere, including your corner tavern. But the statistics say that within a 50-mile radius of a new casino, and there's 10 of them again in Illinois, addiction rates double. We've got 12 million people in this state. That's a lot of new people addicted, isn't it?
Right.
Right?
Well, that points to the need, really, for Christians to get engaged and get involved because—
Absolutely. Let me divorce rates go up. Unemployment go up. Crime goes up. Abuse goes up. DUIs go up. Is this good for the culture? It isn't good for the culture. So let me just finish my thought there is, if we truly love our neighbors— we're going to be opposing gambling expansion, aren't we?
That's one example.
We can go through life and marriage and pornography and all these other things that are affecting the culture, but that's just one example.
So, but beyond voting.
Yes.
And not just voting, but being an informed voter and getting informed on the issues, what else can we do?
Oh, well, there's a lot of things we can do. I like to give this list of things that people can do short of running for election, but I don't want people to dismiss that either. Some things that they can do. They can put up yard signs in their yard for the candidates they are supporting. They actually do have an impact on your neighbors and on those who drive by your property. Show some leadership, be bold about your choices, get out there and let people know who you're supporting. You can make phone calls, you can volunteer for campaigns, make phone calls for the candidates who you've determined are pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-family. Get out there, help them make phone calls to reach other people and other voters and let them know. You can distribute literature, okay? Maybe talking on the phone's not your thing. You can go door-to-door and hang these things on doorknobs to help people know who the candidates in your neighborhood that deserve your support. You can go door-to-door even with the candidate or even have the candidate come to your home and have a nice small gathering, intimate gathering with your other neighbors over coffee, cake, and, of course, coffee. They're actually called coffees. I don't know if you know that.
I've been to a couple.
You've been to a couple. You know, this is a great way to share knowledge, have an intimate setting where you can talk to the candidate and say, hey, I'm really concerned about where my property taxes are going, or you know, whatever it may be. You can actually help raise money and obviously contribute financially, but you can also do something very simple that doesn't cost you any of that, maybe just a little time. Attend rallies and march in parades. My kids and I have been to a number of parades over the years, and of course my kids love it because we get to hand out hard candy to all the kids along the parade route. We're marching behind candidate X, showing our support for that candidate, and the kids are running back and forth, having making all kinds of new friends with their hard candy, right? So that's fun. But let me circle back before I go there. I'm sorry. You know, how about writing letters to the editor? Get out there. Let people know where you stand on the issues. let people know that, you know, not everybody thinks the way the mainstream media thinks. You can start a blog. You can start your own podcast. Podcasting is becoming very popular, and that's why we're trying to get in on it, too. You can run for office. I don't want people to dismiss this idea. I want to quote somebody. His name is John Adams. He happened to be our first vice president, our second president of the United States. And he said this, writing a letter to his son, John Quincy Adams. He said this, "Public business, my son, must always be done by somebody. If wise men decline it, others will not. If honest men refuse it, others will not."
Well, you talk about running for office, and people say, "Oh, I could never do that." You know, I've broached the idea with my wife, and the threat of a gunshot came my way. So, maybe you've got that inkling that maybe I should run for office. What's the first step?
Well, a lot of people think, well, you're asking me to run for state rep or for Congress or for president. No, there are actually lower offices, not as high profile. Maybe I should put it that way.
Maybe school board.
School board. How about even precinct committeemen? Precinct committeemen is probably the lowest on the hierarchy of elected officials. It's a local position within your community that you represent the party. In this case, let's just say the Republican Party, and that you represent them and their values, and then you get to promote the candidates of your choosing to your neighbors as an elected official within the Republican Party. And of course, then as you pointed out, local school board, village trustee, mayor,
library
alderman,
board.
Library board. These are places we need wise and honest people to run. And if they don't run, as John Adams said, what do we get?
Yeah, well,
we get what we got.
Right. Somebody's going to fill those positions, and it might as well be you.
It should be us. It should be people with a Christian worldview, with the Holy Spirit guiding and convicting them, right? That's what's important. When you have atheists and humanists in there making decisions, they're not based on decisions guided or thought about and contemplated in prayer, right?
Right.
Right? So don't we want people like that in our offices, making decisions about where our tax dollars are spent, what policies are being implemented, how they're going to affect our communities in which we live and raise our families?
Can Illinois Family Action help to maybe give a little guidance about maybe running for office?
Absolutely. Yeah, give us a call. We'd be happy to talk you through it or put you in touch with people in your community that would help you and encourage you along the way. Let me just say, as far as the precinct committeeman issue goes, the vast majority of these seats, or close to half or more than half now, I don't know the most recent numbers, but half or more than half historically have been vacant. Vacant. I run for a precinct committeeman every year since I've moved into the community I moved into recently. And it's very simple. It just takes 10 signatures. So my wife and I are two. I got 8 other people in my community.
And she signed for you.
And she did. She did. And I found 8 other people who like me enough to at least sign my signature. It's that simple. It's that simple. And folks shouldn't get scared off with the idea. We need good, godly candidates to run for office.
Dave, the phone number for IFA and our website.
Our phone number, you can reach us at 708-781-9371. And our website is ifiaction.org. Sign up for our emails, and I promise you won't be sorry.
Thanks, David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. And a big thank you to John Kristoff and Kathy Valenti, who helped make this broadcast happen. Thanks again to you folks for listening, and join us again.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.